From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Is a tremendous logistical undertaking, not for amateurs, and people like David Heap we have spoken to, and there's been some really serious misadventures. There was the Turkish aid ship where there was a loss of life, and that became quite a showdown between the government of Turkey and Israel. And so I guess we're experiencing one now where, because of the bombardment and destruction of Gaza, the population transfer that's taking place, the failure to have a ceasefire, the failure to have an exchange of prisoners has created a humanitarian crisis and, I would say, uproar, including, by the way, within Israel. There was a big demonstrations yesterday, broken up by the police army, because I don't know if you saw this, Phil, but the apparently two more Israelis who are held by Hamas in Gaza appeared on as video of them was released, calling on the government to work out an exchange. That apparently had quite an impact within Israel because people see this. You know, the ability to control what people see is running. What people are seeing is running way ahead of the masters who try to control it. And because of the internet, people see things, hear things which they are not, mainstream doesn't tell them about. So within Israel, apparently, they saw the footage. And I don't know if it was, how broadly it was broadcast, but it just shows, you know, the general uproar. So with that as a backdrop, we have this situation where the Freedom Flotilla intends to take aid to Gaza, and we have the American government saying that yes, aid should go in. And everybody else saying aid should go in. However, they want to control it. And to my mind, the biggest issue is returning to an international coordinated effort in which all parties, all responsible parties, those connected to the United Nations, see to the safety and security of the civilian population of Gaza, and that can only be done through coordination at the United Nations. And what is the United States is attempting to do, in my opinion, this is the Taylor Report, so you're getting a Taylor Report opinion, is to try to capture the humanitarian aid business and to replace United Nations UNRWA, the institution that has been supplying the human necessity of medicine and food, education for the population of Gaza. And what we're witnessing, for example, the U.S. military is building they say by the end of May, they expect to have a kind of an artificial port. This would be, in the old days, we called this the Seabees. You remember the Seabees, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the Seabees were kind of a World War II cultural conceit that they could go and build a port, or they could establish a dam, or they could do all kinds of miracle things, engineering, which had the whole world was supposedly impressed with it. But anyway, how quickly they could build a bridge. Or in this case, they're talking about building a port. But all that means, actually, when you watch, is that the U.S. wants to take over Gaza together with Israel. And the third party in this crime will be Egypt. I think some are a little too sanguine in their prayers or hopes that for the Arab masses, There's no question that 90% of the Arab population support the Palestinians. But it's also no doubt that more than half of the monarchs and dictators do not, because all their deals have been cut with Western powers. And the, probably the most compromised and difficult spot is Egypt, in my opinion, and of course it's Saudi Arabia. There's also the United Arab Emirates, who are coming in for a lot of very interesting criticism. I'll tell you again, this is a Taylor Report. We recommend, actually, to follow these things. So you, one thing obvious, people should be using Twitter, and I guess you do. Dimitri Lascaris is reporting on what he's doing, where he is, and the difficulties they're facing. But also there is a brilliant site conducted by a California professor whose nickname is the Angry Arab. And all you have to do is just write Angry Arab, and up comes the professor. And he's a very funny man. He's sarcastic. He's a very decent individual. He is one of those in the amongst the we used to use this word kind of proudly, intelligentsia. You rarely hear it anymore, but it, amongst the intelligentsia, he's a highly competent scholar, and he's also an excellent, I would say, ethical, moral guide, because he is fights any tendency toward anti-Semitism, which is a major subject. People want to turn this whole dispute, try to turn it into, oh, is it anti-Semitism? The demonstrations are definitely demonstrations calling for a ceasefire and calling for peace. I think we're going to make an attempt here to reach Dimitri. Dimitri, are you there? Hello, Dimitri? We're still having difficulties, I think. I feel like the president in Dr. Strangelove, because I just said, hello, Dimitri, are you there? Which is one of the funnier moments.
Was Dimitri there?
Pardon me?
In Dr. Strangelove, was Dimitri there?
Do you remember that?
I do.
It's a great scene where they try to get the president on the line to Dimitri somebody, who's the president of Russia. And they have about 12 minutes before there's going to be a nuclear war, and they're arguing about who's the most upset. Dimitri, I know you're upset. I'm upset. You think I'm not? And then they argue. We'll just continue on. I know that Winston's doing his level best, and if we reach Dimitri, we'll keep reporting also. I'll go back to my point here about the professor. Go to that site, Angry Arab, because he's a brilliant, progressive man who will really shed great light on the Arab world. And you know, there's a thing called Translate on your, and he, most of his writing now is in, his tweets are in Arabic, but or you just put Translate. And so it's really nice to be part of a discussion, to be following it between various political analysts and historians and whatnot in the Arab world talking about what's taking place. But to go back, I think the nub of the issue that being faced by the Freedom Flotilla, which is in a port in Turkey at the moment, and wanting to set sail, as far as I know, they're ready to go. And if we're fortunate enough to reach Dimitri, we'll find out firsthand, but there, as you would expect, Turkish government says, oh yes, we're all on your side and we think you're a bunch of wonderful people. However, there are certain bureaucratic things we must do, which it might take us about 12 years to resolve, but we really are 100% behind you. So that's the kind of world that what they had, they need a flagship, the flag, and... Oh, I almost heard. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I want to thank Winston and Pedro for the good work on getting us that interview. Give me Dimitri moves, you know. He's on the move. We're going to make sure
he's on check. A boat in Greece waiting. He's on a boat in Greece waiting for the permits,
yeah.
which is like waiting for Godot. He may never show up, but he's going to try.
He's like I.F. Stone on roller skates.
Yes.
He's all over the place.
Phil, I'm really glad you mentioned this thing about nuclear weapons because, there's almost like an understanding, I would say there is an understanding among the Western press, not to talk about nuclear weapons and the fact that the U.S. walked away from treaties. And now they're pointing fingers at Russia and say, look, you're really endangering the world, right? It's the U.S. that walked away from those treaties, not the Russians.
The U.S. tore up those treaties, actually. And they won't enter into a treaty on chemical weapons. They won't get involved. I'm really glad we raised with Dimitri this issue of states that talk but actually haven't put their signature on things. The U.S., for example, talks about China in the south, what's called the South China Seas. And the United States has not signed on to the law of the sea agreements in that region. China has. But I think I just lost a little hearing. Are you getting the same sound?
No, there was a little glitch.
There was a little glitch. Let's look for that glitch.
Yeah.
That son of a glitch. We'll find it. This is Taylor Report, by the way. And I raised that thing with Dimitri, and he, what an excellent answer, the nuclear weapons, that if Israel were to say, yes, we have them, the U.S. couldn't actually support them because they have some sort of doctrine. They'll throw it in the wastebasket. They're very good at throwing things in the wastebasket. But it is, frankly, an embarrassment. And then you have this thing of attacking people, but not admitting that you're attacking them. And then you have a public, publicity department that says you did attack them, and boy, did you do it well, and you were brilliant, and you were heroic, except you didn't say you even did it. And so it's kind of like watching a magician from behind, I think. And he's saying, oh, boy, I really fooled him. And you say, yeah, you sure did. And show me the next trick. And he shows you the trick while he's doing it. This is very insulting to what's left of our intelligence, yours and mine, at Taylor Report. this is CIT. I think we have a little Rosetta Tharpe to entertain ourselves. We take a little break and come back and talk to Phil Conlon.
This train is a clean train. This train.
Rosetta Tharpe, of course, she's got that great song, but this train don't have, the only line I remember is don't haul no gamblers, this train. This is the Taylor Report. I'm here with Phil Conlon, and I'll just remind you, we had Dimitri, and we're very glad he joined us. He is tweeting about this whole episode. And so I really urge listeners, follow what he's telling us so that we can get behind the effort, particularly if they are able to launch and get into the Mediterranean and get in and head towards the non-existent port of Gaza. He made me... I made a couple of assaults on coastlines by way of practice when I was a corporal. And I guess that's how they have to go ashore. They probably need a couple of landing craft. And I wouldn't recommend the one that I was on because it scared the hell out of me. But it's mostly below the surface. The only guy who can see is the man in the cockpit driving it. And if anything goes wrong, you will roughly have the chances of an anchor. Anyway. But
That sounds encouraging.
That's fine. Well, you know what they could do? They could probably go to the U.S. new installation the Americans have put in. That's probably where we should focus. And I would urge members of Parliament, and we do actually have living now members of Parliament standing up, breathing, talking like human beings, and less mush and more content. And here's what they need to do is call for UNRWA operations to get back in gear, because what's going on, the Americans are playing a dirty game of recruiting Jordan and Egypt to airdrop insufficient assistance, and or they're going to set this new port, this little homemade port, and they're going to trickle it in so that people basically starve while they get to have their picture taken handing candy bars to kids, which is a world war. As long as warfare, there's always the noble soldier giving a kid a candy bar. They do not want the international presence. They do not want UNRWA. And we ought to be very noisy about that. Canada, through Bob Rae and the Prime Minister, and of course Poilievre and all the other, they all jumped on the bandwagon to stop aid to UNRWA. And then, of course, they said, well, there'd been an accusation made by Israel, and I mean, immediately it was treated as gospel, but the allegations against UNRWA have been shown to be just junk. That means there has to be a restoration of its services. And Israel, among the crimes here, is telling UNRWA what they can and cannot do, because the party that has no legal presence in Gaza is Israel. And, of course, that would go for the United States as well. If you'll notice, the gap that's being created is between the international community, people like to use the term, the international community, if the word is to make any sense, international community means those established bodies such as the United Nations and the International Criminal Court, Court of Justice, pardon me, and international law governing relations between states. And the agreement, the only one that stands, is that one established through the United Nations General Assembly and Security Council. The U.S. is trying to create a rogue phenomena of humanitarian aid that runs through them, and that's probably part and parcel of what is termed by the Court of Justice as a probable case of genocide, to see the attempt to nationalize humanitarian aid through the Washington, London is a real crime. And you want to see, I mean, this, the old colonial system is continually fighting to come back. And we see it in the form of, for example, now of the UK, who are going to send African refugees, people seeking refugee status. They're going to, now they have begun to implement, they're going to remove them from England and take them to Rwanda. That's the old colonial order It's just below the surface. It's kind of like looking into the water and seeing a shark. Because what they want to do is to say, oh, you're an African, so we're going to take you and put you in this little African country that obeys us because we give it all the money it survives on. And yes, it's despised by its neighbors, but that doesn't matter. We're going to put you there. And we call it a great success. Because we call it a great success, we're going to put you there. And this, in the old days of colonialism, if you were in what is now India and you did something the British government didn't like, they would pack you up and send you to the Caribbean. Or in the case of the Irish, for example, or the Fenians, they sent them, they arrested them, and they sent them to Australia. So this is the old order, where they take over. And they are fighting the international order, which was established at the United Nations. And but of course, they label everything they do. This is their form of humanitarian aid. The government of Rwanda is currently illegally present in the eastern third, the mineral-rich eastern third of Congo. And they've been told to get out. But they're not getting out. So this is a country at war with its neighbor and inflicting great harm there, exploiting that. And at the same time, Britain says, well, we're going to ship these people. That's where Canada and others should be vocal, say, no, you're not going to do that. That's you're violating international order. But when the reason they don't is because Canada is part of the old colonial order. And everybody understands what the game is. And they're doing the same with Gaza, where they're enabling the U.S. to call this criminal game of privatizing humanitarian aid. They call that, humanitarian aid, when in fact it can only be credible if it's done by a neutral agency governed, which gets its standing from the United Nations. So Canada and the United States, UK, are basically conducting a subversive campaign to destroy the international order. And strangely enough, they say that it's Russia and China that are doing that. But if you actually look at, the proverb, I hear what you say, but I see what you do, you'll notice what they're doing. Let's talk about Jill Stein. You remember Jill Stein, Phil?
Of course, I voted for her.
Wow. Hey, we have a self-admitted voter. I have great admiration for her. If you don't know, and by the way, there's another one. Please follow Jill Stein. Start now, right away, because she is a Green Party advocate, and she is she's a doctor, medical doctor. She's from New England. It's my understanding. If I have a brief outline of her career, but she's been so steadfast and so articulate, and Dimitri very kindly spoke of the individual Cornel West, but Cornel West is a professor, and Jill Stein is an accomplished political figure. She understands how to her language, thinks not to say, and thinks to say, and even in the midst of being pushed, she was hit. The police have a technique when they approach a crowd. They take these bicycles they use, and they put the bicycle in front of them, using it like a shield, and then bump the person with the bicycle. We're talking about Jill Stein, medical doctor, not an athlete that I can tell, and treating her that way. But to speak of her, the content of Jill Stein, she, unlike Dr. West, Jill Stein does not defame or speak wildly of other leaders around the world. We remarked on this show, and I just don't really, I don't see romanticizing politics. You speak plainly. Dr. West calls Putin a gangster. He says he's a gangster. He likes to use the word gangster because it has a certain cachet, you know, that sounds so tough. And then he calls the government of the Islamic Republic the mullahocracy and calls for its overthrow. Well, why doesn't he apply for a job in the Biden cabinet? It's, you know, because that's rash language. And Jill Stein understands that whatever her opinion of that government, it is a government. And the way governments have to interact is one to the other. You don't get on a platform and abuse the other guy if you're trying to get along in the world, you know. And it's that simple understanding that she has. By the way, also, Dr. West has talked about, you know, the attack the government of Syria. And people from the region say, no, wait a minute, Israel regularly attacks. I mean, this thing of assaulting a neighboring country, Israel bombs Syria on a regular basis. By the way, it never says it does, it just does. And it's known and established and people die. And they were actively involved in the attempt to remove the president of Syria. And if you remember the wonderful, charming, delightful, intellectual Obama, he actually stood as president of the United States and said, president of Syria has to step down. The answer is no. From the rest of the world, you see, they understand sovereignty, right? Nation self-determination. You don't have any business telling the Syrians what will happen with their president. They won't, that's their business. But he had to go through this routine. Oh, he's got to, you know. And now, Dr. West doesn't understand that what you want to say is, why are we arming and abetting and encouraging and enabling a country to attack Syria regularly? And by the way, why do we have a military base in one third of Syria? There seems to be somebody who does the calculus, and they always have to have one third of the country that is under us. By us, I mean U.S. U.S. But that part of it, that's the part that a responsible person who wants to be president of the United States, that's what he should say. But I'm afraid he's allowed his philosophy training and whatnot to take over. And I think it hasn't been very impressive to me that the people called socialists and progressives in the United States have not been able to sort that matter out and understand it. But now with Jill Stein, they've got a chance to do it. She makes the point that she is anti-war and pro-worker, and she wants to end what they call, wars and Wall Street. That's her target. This is a very sensitive subject, and Canadians, all of us should pay attention. Biden is going to is doing what Lyndon Johnson did in the Vietnam War. He says, I'm going to be nice to the American worker. I'm going to have a war on poverty. I'm going to be for human rights and civil rights in America. But I'm going to bomb the bejesus out of Vietnam. And you will support me because I give you things. And that's where there has to be a stout no from the American people. Don't try to bribe us to make your war against other people. And the only candidate that's saying that is Jill Stein. And I'm very impressed that Jeffrey Sachs has endorsed her. By the way, a very funny thing happened at Princeton on the anti-Semitism issue. A writer named Michael Tracy, you can find him online, He's rather a smart guy. I'm not going to endorse him. He's not running for anything anyway. But he said, I'm going to put on my yarmulke and I'm going to go to Princeton to see if I can, if I'll be beaten up, because I understand there's a bunch of anti-Semites who are protesting. And then he said, gee, nothing happened, you know. He found that he was warmly received. But a little note, Joyce Carol Oates, the great author, she sent Michael Tracy a message, and she said, welcome to Princeton, because anybody with two eyes knows that it's all bunk. And that actually the most outstanding people, among the most, I'm not going to say the most, among the most outstanding people standing up to the Israeli assault on Gaza are Jewish Americans and Canadians. And they've been brilliant, and because they know. The issue is the bombing of Gaza. This is not about ethnicity. It's about wars of aggression, and it's about the attempt to remove a population from their homeland. That's all it's about. And others are trying to stir this up and see if they can cause a civil war. They're going to fail, by the way. I've never seen such activity as this. This has been the Taylor Report. I want to thank Phil Conlon and, of course, Winston and Pedro, who look after us so well, and got Dimitri Lascaris on the line from Greece. That was wonderful. And I think we have some banjo music, and we'll see you next week.